The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you today. Man, I tell you what, the fall is in the air. It's just amazing outside, the changes, the colors, and how God is we get to experience the different seasons right here in Iowa, and it's just such a good thing. I just want to remind you of a couple things as we move forward today. First one, we're our Vital Men kickoff. It was a success, and we are now in full swing. So if you want to get part of a Vital Ministries small group with men, we have 5 different locations. You can get on to vitalministries.org. Check that out. It tells you the different cities that we're in. Right here in Oskaloosa, we have 2 times for you. On Tuesday, we meet from 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. For you men that have got a big, busy day and only the morning works, we will be at the Vital Ministries building in Oskaloosa. You can go to the website and find out the location of that, which is right across from the First Christian Church. You can check us out early in the morning, 6:30 to 7:30. And also, too, you men here locally in Oskaloosa, we also offer another time from 6:30 to 8 o'clock at the Vital Ministries building in the evening on Tuesday. So you don't want to miss out on that as well. Just some really, really good time. And again, I just want to remind you, we also send out daily devotions for Vital Ministries. We have 5 different writers for the men. They write different days. I'm the writer on Monday. Just some great inspiration, a nugget for your day of allowing the Holy Spirit to speak into your life. So just encourage you. And then on Saturday, we have what we call Vital News. Keeps you up to date with the information, the new stuff that's coming along the way within the communities in your area. So just another opportunity. And we also, too, my wife writes for the Vital Women. She does a beautiful job. And again, you ladies out there that want to be part of what's going on in Vital Men, Vital Ministry, you know what your man's got up going on, because you'll get the news as well on Saturday morning. So just the good stuff. But we're going to jump in. This week, we are starting a new fall teaching series called Followership. A different way to look at how leadership is. In the weeks ahead, we're going to look at 2 leaders, 2 prophets, 2 men of the Old Testament. The prophet we will be studying first will be Elijah. His name and the meaning of his name means, "My God is Yahweh." What a powerful name that is. Elijah is a Hebrew prophet and a miracle worker. He was a man who confronted King Ahab and the northern tribes of Israel. He was a man who came against the most... Elijah came against the most wicked king, Ahab, which we just spoke about, and his wicked wife, Jezebel. But he was not afraid, and he came against them, a true leader of Israel during difficult days. He is the front runner, obviously, of John the Baptist and the mentor to Elijah. Elijah will also be talking, and he's our next prophet. His name means God is salvation. He was a Hebrew prophet and also a miracle worker as well. And he followed Elijah, being a mentor wholeheartedly in his ministry as well, sacrificing all he had in order to chase after Elijah and the ministry that God set before him. He is the prophet who asked God for a double portion of Elijah's spirit for his ministry. For 60 years, he held the office of prophet in Israel. You can find that back by 2 Kings 5:8. But before we jump in to these 2 lives of these 2 leaders in the Bible, I think it's important for us to set the stage, as sort of speaking of what leadership truly is, in, as it speaks of it in the Bible, as to what leadership is being conveyed to us in modern-day culture. Today, I have a guest with us, a recognized guest, a man devoted to God, a true shepherd of his people, Pastor Bill Treed from Family Jubilee Church right here from Oskaloosa, today as we discuss our leadership and followership. Good morning, Pastor Bill. Oh,
good morning, Pastor Mike. This is a great day to be talking about this subject.
Yes.
There is almost an obsession with leadership in our culture today. And
it is.
I tell you, we need to have a biblical defined way of understanding leadership in the culture, so we can truly be those that are demonstrating following Jesus. We follow a man's followership of Jesus more than his leadership himself.
Absolutely.
And I think that when we understand that, it makes everything come in proper, its proper place and order.
Yes. You shared a nugget with me just, it's been about a month ago, as I was discussing this whole leadership about what it looks like. And you gave me an incredible nugget about, actually, there's only six places in the Bible. I want you to share with us a little bit about that. It kind of helps us in the beginning as we were going to look at what it says as far as how the world sees leadership.
Absolutely. Leadership is really more of a secular construct than it is a biblical concept. It's leadership is only used in the Bible six times.
Right.
In 1 Chronicles 12:27, it's a secular military disformation of one person on a horse in front of others.
Right. Yes.
and also in Chronicles 13:1 is the same. And then you get over into 2 Chronicles 32:21, it's the same. Right. But Isaiah 9:16, it says our leader is the leader that they cause you to err, even. Isaiah 9:16 says, your leaders cause you to err. And then in Matthew 15:14, it says that they are blind leaders of the blind, and they yes. both fall into the pit.
Right.
So many times it isn't so much the emphasis of us leading, but Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Right.
And so it's really we follow a man's followership of Christ.
Right.
And following is always the sure way. Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you. Development comes from followership. He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So that's what we need to key in on today. And we're not down on leadership, for goodness
Absolutely,
sakes.
We're for
leadership. But important. We're just trying to get people a little bit more up on followership.
Yeah, the difference, because that leads us into the definition of what the world says leadership looks like. Pastor Billett says this. It says it's the action of leading a group of people or an organization. The art of motivating a group of people to act towards achieving a common goal. Now, this has always been a thought. Are leaders born
or are leaders made?
We could talk about that
just
in a session.
Yeah.
But I got a couple quotes here that I think are really, really good of some men, I think. One is Winston Churchill. This is what he says about leadership. He says, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And I look at Winston Churchill, and during his time, his life, what an awesome leader over Great Britain during World War II.
That man had integrity. That man
yes.
had courage. That man had everything. And I think he had the call of God to do it.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that is a powerful aspect of that.
Yes. Then there's another man by the name of Steve Jobs. Since then, he's passed. But it says this. This is what he says. He says, it's better to be a pirate than to join the Navy.
Oh, Lord.
I would love to ask him what were you thinking when you made that comment?
I don't know if I can fully agree with what that sounds like anyway. Maybe he has a better explanation for it. But
absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say that the world sees leadership in a pyramid structure, more so from leadership from the top of the pinnacle down to the bottom?
Yes.
Now, we're going to see that reversed in the Bible.
Absolutely.
But that's how leadership is looked upon. And again, folks, we're not saying this is a negative. We're wanting to show you today to look at two styles of leadership.
Yeah.
What style of leadership do you want to step into? We're going to look at also, too, before we jump into the biblical one, Pastor Bill, I think we got four ways to, as you define leadership. And the first one is this. Leaders better their environment. That's the first one that it says. It says, leaders do not exist to order their workers around. While they oversee their team, a true leader takes initiative and trusts their employees to perform efficiently and independently. I think that's key in leadership, especially in the modern day world.
Yep.
Of how they do it.
Oh, the world undoubtedly has come with some good understanding of how to move people towards a goal. Absolutely.
Absolutely. The second one, and we're not going to spend a lot of time because we want to get the biblical view. It says this, they know their team, point number two, they know their team and themselves well. A leader places people around him or her in a position that sets them up for success. Now, that's key.
Yeah.
A position that sets them up for success. This means they must have an in-depth understanding of each individual, such as understanding their career goals and knowing what motivates them. Now, I find that a little bit interesting. It's kind of self-centered.
Yep, they are. They're almost a biblical principle, but used for selfish purposes.
Right. for their gain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what the defining very fine line differences are.
Yes. Number three is this, that leaders maintain a positive attitude. Leadership is the ability to see a problem and be the solution. Now, I love that.
Yeah.
So many people are willing to talk about problems or even empathize with them, but not many can see the problem and challenge, step into that challenge and rise to it.
Yeah.
Isn't that good? That is actually really, really good.
That's really good, yeah.
So I think that it is important. But again, I don't know about you, Pastor Bill, but when I try to do my own attitude on my own,
yeah,
outside of asking the Holy Spirit to help
that's
me,
right.
Man, I struggle with that. I fail it most of the time.
Our problems, we cast our cares on the Lord, and the Lord is our helper. He's not our doer, but he is our helper.
Yes.
The Bible very clearly teaches that. So when we think we can do it without him, we get into error.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Number four, they build the next generation of leaders. Now, that's a good thing.
Oh, that's a very biblical thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great leaders also hire and inspire other great leaders whom they trust to carry out the company mission and install a sense of purpose that torches each and every staff member. Now, that's from a modern point of view, That's a pretty good point.
It is. It's got a few things missing. You know, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers. We want to teach them to follow Jesus.
Right.
And he'll create the fishers of the next generation.
Yes.
I mean, we play a part in that, but we can't stop there with it just being us.
Absolutely. So my hope is this, Pastor Bill, as we look at the biblical view, because we got a lot of people out there that are listening, and everyone's a leader. You may not be necessarily a leader in a company. You may not be a supervisor or even a foreman or whatever position.
A dad is the head of his family. Yeah.
But we get back to how are you leading in your family.
Exactly.
And absolutely. So, Pastor Bill, I believe these are all good attributes to being a leader and developing leaders. But we see also the contrast to the world's view of leadership as to the biblical view of leadership. So we're going to jump in this morning and see what it says. Now, this is the biblical view of leadership. It says this. Leadership is the act of influencing and serving others out of Christ's interests in their lives. Isn't that key?
Oh, absolutely.
So they accomplish God's purpose for and through them. Christian leadership is not rooted in worldly notions of success, such as the love of money or the love of power. Jesus himself spoke against these, expressing the importance of serving others. As we look at Matthew 20:25 through 28, and I know we're scrambling to pick up that verse when you get there, Pastor Bill, but I just think that's just this is a powerful how Jesus is. How he goes about and talks about leadership. So read that for us this morning.
Absolutely. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And minister means servant. We know that.
Yes.
And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Yes. Powerful verse. Powerful
absolutely.
Verse.
That yeah. says it all.
Oh, absolutely. One of the things is, and I've shared this before, but one of the things I remember is I was stepping into ministry and I was looking at my leadership of how it was, and I knew I needed changes. And I'll never forget this, Pastor Bill. I remember one time I was at Third Church, and I got a chance mm-hmm. to talk with Pastor Kevin Corver about leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And what he told me, he says, Mike, you want to be a good leader? Yeah. He said, clean the bathrooms.
Mm.
I'm thinking, does he mean that literally? Mm-hmm. But what he was really telling me, Pastor Bill, is it's coming from serving.
Absolutely.
Serve your people, and out of serving, God will position you
yep.
to lead.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The way up is down in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Humble yourself and God will exalt you.
I see you so often. You'll have work days with the people, and you're cleaning the church, and you're outside doing things. And one thing I've always appreciated about you, Pastor Bill, as well, is you're out there. You're with them.
I try to be.
You're trying,
yeah.
but
yeah.
you're there. And
yeah.
It's just.
It's great. I love it.
I do too. And I think that what great humble leadership, because yeah. you could easily just be up there pointing and not doing anything.
Yeah.
But you're right at your elbows right yeah. into the stuff.
Well,
I love it.
You really get to know your people that you're working with, and they get to know you. And it does. It just forms a servant relationship, and it models it for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to look at seven principles this morning about what leadership, godly leadership, according to what the Bible says about leadership. Number one is this. Now, this is kind of a push, but love.
Oh boy.
God is love. It says this in 1 John 4:8. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Amen.
Love is central to Christianity and every Christian. Any Christian leader should be driven in his or her heart by the love of God in anything that they do.
Absolutely. And love is selfless.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
And is looking out for the other person. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Absolutely. It's the law of love. It's just not something we do. It's a law that governs the way that we live.
Yes.
And it fulfills all the law if we walk in love, the Bible says in Romans. So it's powerful.
Yes. I've had many times with my own men that I work with in construction. Yeah. And there's times I'll just pull them aside and say, I want to let you know something. They look at me and I said, I want to know I truly love you. And they look
awesome.
At me.
In today's culture, you got to be careful.
I'm in the construction world, and you got alpha dominance going on big
absolutely.
Time, right? But it catches them to a point where they know that, because they know that I want
absolutely.
To take care of them. And I know you do the same thing in your leadership with people in your church.
We tell people that all the time, because people need to hear that.
Yes, absolutely.
They do.
Absolutely. Why don't you give us the next principle, Pastor Bill?
And it's modesty. And we see that it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with a lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
Mm.
See, it says we've all encountered that know-it-all leader. And we all haven't we?
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. The submit or else type of leader. According to Proverbs 16:5, it's an abomination to God to be prideful. Mm. Being arrogant does not help model or demonstrate Christ's interest. Rather, it is in a direct conflict with Christian leadership.
Absolutely.
You never position, Lucifer in Isaiah 14 says, I will ascend above the clouds of God, and I will sit on the throne. In other words, he wanted Jesus to bow to him when they went up to the mountain in the temptation.
Right.
And I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll bow to me. The wrong type of leadership is always trying to pose yourself over someone.
Right. Right.
And that's just not right.
As we talk about modesty, we're not talking about an outward appearance, but we're talking about positioning of an outward stature of how you lead.
Yeah.
It's not leading out of pridefulness, it's leading out of humility.
Absolutely. It's a servant leadership that, yes, it has to make some hard decisions sometimes and require people to get to work, but all through it all, there needs to be a softness and a loving kindness about it.
Yes. One of the things I've learned in this position, Pastor Bill, is especially in, because you also can't be what I'm going to call a floor mat either, where somebody just walks over you. But what I have learned in leadership and especially in this is learning to the point of where I position myself firm but fair.
Absolutely. That's very good.
And that's what I try to, am I perfect in that? Oh,
let me add one more F to it. Fatherly. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. That is so key. The next one that we have for the next leadership principle for us this morning comes out of Luke 22, 41 through 45, but it's self-development. Jesus modeled self-development by constantly slipping away to spend time with God. And I find this so amazing, but this is what it says. It says, he walked away about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. This is when he's at Gethsemane. He says, Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then the angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently, and he was in such agony of the spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like drops of blood.
Yeah.
And what I love about this portion of Scripture is we constantly see through the Scriptures where Jesus has this relationship with the Heavenly Father. In order, his self-development, he knew where it came from. It came from his Father.
Yep.
It came from God. And I think it's so important for us as men and women.
Yep.
And we're positioned, God positions kings. Right,
yes,
Pastor
absolutely,
Bill?
Absolutely, yes.
And he also positions people to be placed in positions of authority
yep.
over people
it's
at the same time.
It's headship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I find out it's like breath itself.
Yeah.
Do I take time in the beginning of my day
yeah.
to set aside
yep.
and I pray to Jesus, Jesus, help me in my day.
Absolutely.
Help me to be, Amen. Help me to lead like you would have me lead.
Amen.
Because I don't know about you, Pastor Bill, when Mike tries to do it, I really mess up.
Well, I have found that to be absolutely true of Bill Tweed also. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the next one we're going to look at this morning is motivation. Nehemiah, he does a beautiful job in this motivation. They're trying to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and they've been taken away in captivity to the Babylonians, and now the Assyrians are now in charge. But I love what he does. In Nehemiah chapter 2, 17, he says this, but now, this is Nehemiah speaking. You know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us build the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. I love this portion. Right. He lays out a vision. Yeah. Then he lays out a share plan and reassures God's people that God will be with them as they build the wall. And when we move people for our benefit, it's simply manipulation.
Absolutely.
That's all it is.
Absolutely.
We are called as leaders to motivate people to a higher purpose.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And we're not building our kingdom, we're building God's.
Absolutely. I think it's just so important for us today to understand that motivation is good.
Yeah.
But it's got to be in the right motivation. And I love how Nehemiah does it. And he, yep. man, talk about a man who faces adversity at rebuilding the walls, putting up gates. Read the book of Nehemiah.
Yeah.
What a great book in my mind of leadership. Because one thing that Nehemiah yep. constantly does, he brings the people back to the Father. Back yep. to the Father's heart.
Yep.
He motivates them not to look at him, hey, I'm the one that's building the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
No, God's called me.
It's a vision from God.
Yes, it
Absolutely.
Was a vision. Let's go to our next one, Pastor Bill.
All right, Hebrews. We've got, I'm going to read verses, Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. And it says, and let us consider one another to provoke one another unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go ahead and read Thessalonians as well. Mm-hmm. And that's over there, a very profound verse. And it says this, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very interesting. And be at peace among yourselves. So these are powerful scriptures. And I believe that it says we are to use correction in leadership to help better understand temperaments, respecting their concerns, believing in gifts, supporting dreams, and challenging their flaws. So correction should not be viewed as a negative thing.
Yes, it's actually a help.
It's a help, and it says, you know, in Proverbs it says, a wise man welcomes correction,
yes.
but a fool despises and does not receive correction.
Right.
So wisdom teaches us that correction, and one proverb says correction is a way of life. That's
right.
What discipleship is a disciplining ourselves. In other words, dieting is a correction.
Right.
Because it's a discipline.
Right.
It's a correcting the way we eat and the amounts that we eat and what we eat. So correction is a healthy thing. We've got to see it that way. And we need to just provoke one another to good works. And we need to be continually in love, showing people maybe some areas that they need work, but definitely encourage them in the areas that they're doing it right.
Right, right. And I think of two kings that got brought into correction. I think of Saul and I think of King David.
Oh, yes.
Saul really made a mistake,
yep.
big time.
Foolish.
And Samuel came to correct him. And what does Saul do? He doesn't. He wants to be, well, I'm sorry, but he really wasn't sorry.
It was a pushback. He was sorry for getting caught. See, David said, against you and you alone, O Lord, have I sinned.
Yes.
To him, it was a relational thing. To Saul, it was just a commandment thing. He says, I've broken the commandments. What really he was saying is, I'm sorry I got caught.
Yes. As opposed to David, he gets the correction. He falls to his knees and sobs because,
All of Psalm 51 writes a whole psalm about his repentance.
My sin has been
heavy upon me. Yeah.
Upon me, and now the people know.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Keep leading us, Pastor Bill. Number six.
All right. Proverbs 16 and 13. This is a great scripture as well.
Yes.
It says, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. Mm. Oh, wow.
That is powerful.
Good leaders practice value and value character.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just read that again. Righteous lips are a delight to kings, and they that love him who speaks what is right. People don't follow leaders who lack integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Integrity involves actions as well as words. Integrity involves practicing what we preach, being consistent and dependable, doing what we say we will do, and living in such a way that others trust. In one place in Proverbs, I think it's 11:1, it says that our integrity will lead us.
Yes.
Because integrity is doing what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've always told my kids, just always do what's right.
Yep. Walk in integrity.
Integrity.
And out of integrity, yep, people follow.
Absolutely. The character and integrity are the two, are the twin, how can I say, giants of leadership. And if we don't have those two,
yes,
nobody's going to want to follow.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
And we see this in the very things of, as we look at Elijah and Elisha.
Absolutely.
The very things that we're reading are displayed, and we're gonna talk more about that in the weeks ahead. The number seven is this: follower of God's will. A good leader seeks the Lord and commits his way to the Lord, and the Lord establishes his steps. It says this in Proverbs 16:1-3, and this is many times read, but it says this: we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer.
Absolutely.
People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. Commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. And in verse 9, it says this: we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Wow. Good leaders look to the Lord.
Absolutely.
For right direction.
Absolutely.
And I think that's key. Yep. Whether it's in a business, in a church, leading a family, all these leadership,
yep,
attributes are essential.
Amen.
For us. If you want to look at, again, the pyramid structure,
yep,
this structure reverses it. It flips it, Pastor Bill,
yep,
upside down.
Absolutely.
It puts it from the bottom of the serving, out of serving,
yep,
you will be positioned to lead.
Absolutely.
And Pastor Bill, I think this is so important. And hear me on this, folks that are listening today. You might be traveling down the highway. You turn on KBO 104.9. You may be a leader, an executive, or have put in an incredible position. You're driving on your way to church this,
yep,
morning, or you're sitting at home. It's so essential. If we're called into leadership, folks, no matter whether it's in the church, but even more so, especially as we're out in the world,
yeah,
to lead how Christ led.
You know, and I look at it like this, Pastor Mike. If we're not careful, our leadership becomes Luciferian. Lucifer had ambition,
yes,
to place himself above God.
Yes.
Jesus says, I do nothing but what the Father shows me.
Yes.
It says that he was filled with the Spirit and led by the Spirit. Romans says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they and they alone are the true sons of God.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we're out of time again.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it flew by. But let's pray, and we'll close this up today. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day, for the opportunity to talk about leadership and how you give us a direct plan on how,
amen,
to lead. Lord, I just pray that maybe somebody out there listening today has been struggling in leading, not leading right. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to them this morning, that the power will come upon them, and that true leadership would be inspired and go through their lives to be a better leader, maybe a leader where they work, a better leader in their church, a better leader in their home. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for being the leader that you were, that you came and died, was crucified, risen, and you're coming again. We praise you. In your,
amen,
name I pray. Amen. Pastor Bill, it's been exciting. It's always good.
Amen.
Yes, it is. Amen.
God bless you.
This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.